The Biltmore Company is celebrating 30 years in the business of making wine. A birthday celebration will take place Saturday on the estate. I'm speaking with Jerry Douglas, president of the Biltmore Wine Company, in his downtown office. Thank you very much for your time.
It's my pleasure.
What do you think George Vanderbilt would think if he were to visit the Biltmore Winery today?
I think he'd be excited about two things. One is the continued use of the agricultural components on the estate and being linked to sustainable agriculture. I think that would be important to him. And then I think the hospitality factor would be very, very powerful for him and very rewarding from the standpoint of making wine that is guest-like and can share, and doing that here rather than having to bring that in from New York or somewhere. I think he'd be proud of that. This is kind of fruits of our labor here. This is who we are. This is what we do, and it's to your taste.
You use the word sustainability. The estate has made it an effort to be as sustainable as possible, hasn't it, over the years?
Well, I think from the inception, Mr. Vanderbilt's vision was to create a country estate that could be economically viable and sustainable over time. And to that end, he invested heavily in agricultural underpinnings that were unheard of at the time or very rare at the time he constructed the estate. All of the bottom fields where crops were planted were actually lined with French tile drains to help with erosion and those things. And so we were technologically advanced, but with the vision of the future and making that sustainable.
What was William Cecil's reaction when it was suggested that Biltmore get into the business of producing wine on the estate? Was he enthusiastic?
Oh, absolutely. I think this is a manifestation of Mr. Cecil's legacy to the property. During his time, he felt like this would be an important way to use the land, and I think at its core, it was what makes more sense on a French chateau than vineyards and a winery.
You have been here pretty much since the beginning of making wine on the estate. How has the production of wine on the estate evolved over the past 30 years?
Yeah, it's been exciting to see the change. When we started with some native grapes that were growing in the arbor in the walled garden, and we began to make some wine in the basement of the greenhouse. And so for a number of years, 1977 to 1978, until we opened the winery for harvest in 84 and the visitors in 85, we made wine in the basement of the greenhouse. We went through native grapes to French-American hybrid grapes to vinifera, and we made the commitment to grow vinifera grapes, which are the French and California varietals that are so popular today, in late 70s, and then committed to them, and we've been making vinifera ever since. That's all we grow on the property. So it's changed a lot. We went from making a few hundred bottles to making a couple of million bottles.
It wasn't too long ago it was illegal to ship wine around the country. How important is that to the business part of producing wine, shipping and selling wine in grocery stores or in wine stores, or for visitors to be able to say, I want you to ship this wine rather than have me carry it with me when I leave the estate?
It's been a great change. When we started, it was illegal for us to ship to someone, and people would be very frustrated when they'd call me and say, gee, I was at your place in at Christmas time, bought a case of Riesling, can you ship me another case? We drank it all. And I'd have to say, no, we can't do that. And he said, well, no, I get people doing it all the time. I said, no, it's illegal. We can't do it. So we'd go through that dance, and people would think I was just unwilling to help them, when in fact we were charged with not breaking the law. And that was one of the things that was important for Mr. Cecil, is that if we knew something was illegal, we would refrain from doing it. So it didn't matter that everybody else was doing it or they were doing it in California. That would be a problem for us. The other part of that that's really interesting with the changes that have been enacted is part of our strategy has always been to introduce people to Biltmore Wine when they visit and then be able to link it to them when they get back home. And so this gives us other options than just going through distributors and setting up that road. We could leverage the experience that you have here and stay connected with you by being able to ship you wine when you want to.
Are you still hearing from visitors who are surprised that there is a winery on the estate?
Wow, that's an interesting question. We do, believe it or not, get some of that. So the awareness hasn't quite grown as much as I would have liked. But, you know, one of the things that's always interesting the most is, wow, those are really good wines. And that surprise was evident 30 years ago when we first started selling it, and it's even, it's still out there today. So I think as people come to wine, the experience here gives them an opportunity to try something and find something that they like, and they connect with it. So it's been fun.
Annually, more than 1 million people visit the estate. Is there room for growth in the wine end of this business?
I think there is. I think the winery itself and that experience is not quite as big as Biltmore House, just in square footage, but the volume of people we can handle is similar. Our folks do a wonderful job of managing that capability that we have. And for us, the interesting thing that we're seeing now is our visitation has grown so dramatically over the years that we're seeing high demand on certain days. Saturday in October is just a huge day for us, but we're also seeing growth on Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays. So that mix of visitation has changed since I started here, and I think that there's plenty of room for us to grow. We may not be able to get many more people here on a Saturday in December, but certainly on a Tuesday or a Wednesday in spring or in summer or at Christmas time, there's an awful lot of capacity that we could fill. So how we manage that is going to be the trick over the next 10 or 20 years.
Some of the grapes that are used to produce wine are grown on the estate. A lot of the grapes are brought in from California or the parts of North Carolina,
right,
for that matter. Is it conceivable to you that a greater percentage of the grapes will eventually be grown on the estate, or is the weather in North Carolina just too difficult?
Weather in North Carolina is an issue. It's very different than what you have here, but it's more, I think, it's an economic decision based on risk. And the challenge of having too much of your production coming from one vineyard source means that if you have a bad year, you're out of business the next year. And so we are constantly looking at ways to improve our vineyards and the output for that and match demand for North Carolina appellated wine to our production. But to run a business, we really have to be smart about how we source raw materials so that we're not, you know, if they have the drought in California that creates problems and we lose sources there, we need to have something in the wing so that we don't have to go out of business.
You mentioned California. Have you made trips to Napa and learned things from California?
Oh, sure, absolutely. We have growers in California that have been with us for 30 years, and they have taught us an awful lot about the business of wine. And what I've personally seen over that time is, and admire, is the passion that they have in those growing areas, whether it's Napa or Sonoma or Monterey or Lake County or even Lodi and the Delta. They truly are agriculturally based economies, and they just live it and breathe it, and it's fun to see and it's fun to be involved. And, you know, when we built the winery, our process engineering team, our tanks, all of those things came from California. So they've been consulting with us, and as you would expect, as they're the preeminent wine growing region in the United States.
Do you have a personal favorite?
For wine for me?
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit like saying which of my children do I like better, but I do. Biltmore Blanc de Blanc Sparkling is my favorite wine.
Tell us a bit about the celebration on Saturday.
Saturday, we've got some neat events. We have something called Wine Stroll, which will be fun from 12 noon to 4 p.m. We'll be having grape stomps at the winery, live music from 2 p.m. to 10. And you're going to be able to, if you're over 21, have a complimentary scoop of Biltmore Wine ice cream. It's the first time we've had alcoholic ice cream. That didn't sound quite right, but it's I think that'll be fun and interesting for us. And then we're going to finish off with a complimentary glass of sparkling at 8:45 and fireworks at 9:15. So it's going to be a fun day on the estate and a suitable celebration for the occasion.
Jerry Douglas is president of Biltmore Wine Company. They are celebrating 30 years of producing wine. Thank you very much.
You're most welcome. Thanks for being out.